Angela Adkins has over 25 years of experience in the field of holistic healing, alpha mind, intuition training, and personal empowerment processes. She has facilitated seminars and workshops for well over 3,000 students in the United States, in Japan, Brazil, Canada, and Germany. She really enjoys sharing cutting-edge wellness modalities and speaking at international educational conferences. Angela makes her home in Dallas, Texas, and is passionate about guiding people to understand and awaken their inborn power to heal. Well, good morning, Angela. Thank you so much for joining us on All Things Vegas, our little podcast. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Kathy. I'm wonderful.
All right. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's great to be here with you.
Yeah. So, I am really excited to have you with us today because you bring such a unique perspective to self-care, I think. And I think that it's a kind of a combination of your perspective on the vagus nerve, the work that you do, you know, in your with your clients, and, you know, bringing your talent, I'm going to call it a talent, your skill at really tapping into kind of the awareness of self and using your intuition to its highest, you know, ability. So can you say a little bit about the role of that in self-care?
Certainly. That's actually my favorite topic to discuss.
That's why you're here, girl.
Yes, it is. So from my learnings over the last 30 years working with clients and facilitating workshops around the world in multiple languages, there is something that has become very clear to me. And that is we are all born, that we have an inborn ability to be connected to self and to be connected to our environment simultaneously, calmly, joyfully. And you know, life occurs, and there are many reasons why that doesn't happen naturally. So I've really been lucky to share with all these different cultures ways to access this natural born ability easily in daily life.
Yeah. So say a bit more about in your experience, and again from your vast experience, you know, So this ability to tap into your inner wisdom, if we call it that, you can call it, you know, whatever you want to call it, right? Mm-hmm. How does that help us with taking better care of ourselves?
Well, if we're able to connect in and really pay attention to our gut instinct, that's mm-hmm. number one. Mm-hmm. But also the more subtle messages, right, that we receive constantly in every moment through our subconscious filter, our conscious mind filter. These create a learning mode for us that creates like a smarter, wiser, faster, stronger future to help us navigate the ever-changing landscape, right, of our life without going into stress mode.
Okay.
Yeah. And as we know through all the research that we have access to currently, that too much stress eventually will cause rapid aging mm-hmm. and chronic disease and gives way to a challenged immune system. There, you know, the world right now is plagued with chronic emotional difficulties.
Right.
Right. But I've been able to observe time and time again that one of the simplest, most natural anecdotes to modern stress is accessing our natural inborn state of calm that's always available to us through a very simple human process. I'd love to share that with our listening audience at the end of our time together, if we have
space. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Let's make this practical. So people come away with. So I think it's really interesting to recognize that and maybe you can speak a bit more to this, Angela, that all of these processes are, you know, they're really based in biology. I mean, they're a part of our biological chemistry, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the University of Pennsylvania, I believe, published a groundbreaking study years ago that the, and it was actually a study that was attempting to debunk Dr. Bruce Lipton's previous study. And what they discovered was, wow, he actually underestimated the power of the subconscious mind and our recording ability that we receive messages constantly through our senses. Mm-hmm. So the conscious mind in any given second is recording 2,000 bits of information.
Okay.
Right? Meaning conscious mind, meaning what we're aware of in any given moment. What we see, what we hear, the temperature, what we smell, what we taste. And that's extremely important because it gives us an idea of where we are in space.
Right.
And it also helps to bridge what we've learned in the past and bring that forward to the present moment so that we can respond in a way, that is healthy.
Right.
What the University of Pennsylvania discovered is that the correlation between 2,000 bits of information equals 100 miles per hour, so that our conscious mind is recording every second at a rate of 100 miles per hour. If you've ever driven 100 miles per hour, that's extremely fast.
Right.
Right. If you can imagine how much information just the conscious mind level has recorded over our lifetime,
right?
Per second, right? That's a huge well of information. On the subconscious level, we are recording 400 billion bits of information per second.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty astonishing.
It's hard for me to,
to
wrap my mind around that. I share that information a lot, and it's equivalent to 100,000 miles per hour. So, that's an incredible speed, and we don't need all of that information. Most of it is tucked away for use later.
Right.
Yes. What's interesting about that study is that it plays into, it really brings to mind for me the power of our deep subconscious mind. That's where our wisdom is, right?
Right.
And most people in the modern world don't have a way to access it readily and naturally and easily, usually because we are distracted by all of the answers automatically, right? So many people, if they want to know what the weather is going to be today, tomorrow, or even the next hour, they pick up their incredible device called their telephone, their handheld computer, touch an app, and it gives them all the information they need.
Right.
And how did the indigenous man, or actually, how did man just 20 years ago, right, tune into the weather? Well, usually we looked up in the sky, we watched the trees, we smelled, is there rain in the air, right? We were more sensorial connected before all of the conveniences.
Right.
Have taken over.
Yeah. Yeah. And those senses, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but that is directly connected to our kind of, subconscious inner wisdom. It's a direct connection.
Absolutely. It's a direct line.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a direct line. So that leads me naturally into talking about some brainwave states that we as human beings, and also in the animal kingdom, experience simultaneously, right? We're very familiar with these states. I'm sure that as I talk about them, you're going to recognize them, right? One is the delta wave rhythm, which is what we experience if we're lucky enough to have really deep sleep at night and go into the dream state, rapid eye movement, right? That's the delta rhythm. The theta brainwave state, which is light sleep, or it's the frequency we experience, the state of being we experience when we're just falling asleep or just waking up from a deep sleep. The alpha mind rhythm is a daydream state. It's the creative state. It's the state that Tesla accessed during his creative inventions. Mozart recorded that he had a space of creativity that only came when he was relaxed and not distracted by other things. We access this state naturally. It occurs when we are maybe quiet or still or overwhelmed by information. Our mind actually drifts off to take a break and it comes back online. Yeah. We communicate that by saying, I'm sorry, could you repeat what you just said?
Right.
Yeah. So we didn't consciously hear, but subconsciously.
Right.
Subconsciously we did. Right. And then of course there's the beta state, which is the state which we operate at that is directly related to all of our habitual actions, the things that we know by heart, how to get to work, how to operate, the computer, how to communicate with people on a day-to-day basis, right? Those are all habitual and natural, thank goodness, because otherwise we'd have to get up every day and relearn how to do everything that we've already learned how to do. And that would take a lot of time.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, beta is our learning mode and it's our memory mode. So the key to accessing this deeper subconscious well of information, all those 400 billion bytes of information that have recorded every second of our life, is to be able to purposefully access the alpha mind rhythm. This is what science has discovered.
Right.
And that experientially I've discovered with working with people over and over again, is that when we are in a space of a purposeful connectivity and sensorially connected, not only to ourselves, but to our environment, just for a few brief moments, our conscious mind and subconscious mind are more able to regulate, and therefore our vagus nerve,
right?
The captain of calm, that incredible bundle of nervous system tissue located, in the thoracic region near the heart, is able to send calming messages to every organ more effectively and more easily.
Yeah. And, I would think, having been able to actually experience that from time to time, is that it does require some ability to tap into that, it's like, unfortunately, it's almost like we have to learn that. We shouldn't have to, but we do. It feels like to me.
That's a good point. We shouldn't have to, but we do. Yeah. That occurs for, I think, a lot of reasons. Early childhood programming, one. I think often children are isolated. So go figure that out on your own, especially when they're not meeting the expectations of grownups, right? So alone time, quiet time with themselves can be labeled as, not pleasurable and as a punishment. So that really, that carries into adulthood. And that I really feel like that's a lot of the reason why many people avoid meditation and mindfulness practices. It's really simple and easy. Oh my goodness, doing nothing? What's hard about that? But it can trigger something very deep and profound within our body, within the sensory network of our body and our mind that can relate back to early childhood trauma and isolation.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Because isolation is it can be a scary thing. Even for adults. I mean, being by yourself is, and being in solitude is one thing, but being isolated is something really dangerous.
And rejected.
Feels dangerous. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. We function best as humans, in community.
Right. Right. So are you feeling like, given how we biologically respond to our connection or lack thereof, right? Are you feeling like, especially over the last couple of years, so many people had to be isolated or had to be, just because of the global pandemic? Can you say something about that just briefly in your experience, what you had observed over the last couple of years?
Yes. It's actually very, very fascinating. I've observed two very different states of being with people. Yes. There is a subset of my student base, my client base, that has shared with me that they actually discovered that they enjoy their introvert time. Mm-hmm. Yes. That, wow, I didn't know that I would enjoy this so much. They got to know themselves and their family members on a deeper level and take time for what was really important for them. And that was actually a plus. Okay.
Right.
That was healing for them.
Right.
And there's another subset of my particular group, my population, that spiraled into the depth of very damaging and deep anxiety disorders, depression, as well as some things that they attempted their entire adult life to not deal with, now had the space and the silence to come forward.
Right.
And has thrust them into their own personal development, right, years, which I think it's a good sign as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
During this pandemic time, I think you can relate to this, many people were glued to the television, waiting to hear right? The next rule, right? The next piece of news from some country or, and it is not natural or healthy for human beings to live the past, the present, and the future in the entire, around the entire world at the same time, right? It's not, we can't do anything about those things. Our, you know, our place of influence is right here in the here and now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So let me ask you this question. I mean, I think something that you said triggered a question for me, and that was this idea that, that sometimes, and I've had this personal experience myself, that sometimes being silent or doing a on purpose, you know, exploration can be really, really uncomfortable, really uncomfortable, and might bring things to the surface that you'd really not yet, that you, like you said, it, you know, you've been avoiding for a really, really long time.
Yes.
So is in your experience, how do you work with that? How do you acknowledge the discomfort or the uncomfortableness of that and move through that and move with that?
The first step is recognizing that it's present versus avoiding or allowing yourself to be distracted, meaning reach for something that is a better feeling emotion. Okay. I think there's a lot of power in a mindset shift, but where I find the most change occurs is that's exactly right, Kathy. That first step is just to recognize, well, I am being still and quiet, and here I am feeling very either nervous, anxious, unsettled, even angry. Right? Why is it that I don't feel safe in my body? Right? And that is our central nervous system telling us, our entire body, mind, our conscious and subconscious mind telling us that there is something unresolved here and it's time to regulate. It's a sign that maybe there's a bit of information coming in through our filters, our senses, that is triggering an unsafe or traumatic event from the past or some kind of high stress event. Right. And actually the key, what I have found to be, is to recognize it and then do absolutely nothing.
Easier said than done, I would imagine, huh?
It is, because we are taught and trained to do something. Look up a funny video, call a friend, think about something else, get up and go for a run, organize a closet, which is doing something. And interestingly, that reinforces the state of stress. We might temporarily feel better because we have maybe a boost of serotonin, right? The oxytocin from calling a friend, or the dopamine that comes from seeing a project completed.
Right.
But the underlying trigger that occurred from us sitting still and entering into that awareness state still remains, kind of lies in wait to be triggered the next time we do it.
Right.
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 Yeah.
Right.
So what science has shown us is that if we are able to maintain a space of self-observation without judgment for just a minute or two. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's less than that. A minute or two is an exaggeration. We don't need that long. 30 seconds to 90 seconds max. And our central nervous system then, through our sensorial connectivity with our environment, recognizes, oh, we're not moving. We must be safe.
Right.
We're not avoiding. We must be safe. Right. We're remaining in the presence of whatever is occurring internally, that we'll call it the trigger, the emotional trigger, and we must be safe. And in that moment, it happens so fast. The regulation occurs between conscious and subconscious mind and our sensorial body, and where the memory was stored in our body. And it really is that simple. There's so much groundbreaking research now on emotional resolution, emotional regulation. And it's inborn. It's our natural ability. We have this. And we actually do it constantly, all day, every day, without knowing.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So there is something about our, perhaps, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but there's something perhaps around our individual judgment or something around being uncomfortable that, you know, that it's almost like we've been taught that that's, I don't know. I don't know what we've been taught.
No, I know where you're going with this. And, you know, you're right. I think on so many different levels, our childhood experience, our cultural level, on a global level, move away from what doesn't feel good to what does feel good. And of course, we're going to do that because that's common sense and it's an intuitive thing that we do. Move toward what feels good and away from what doesn't feel good.
Right.
However, that right. means that we're constantly moving toward what feels good and away from what doesn't and not right. attending to what doesn't.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ignoring yeah. what doesn't.
Right.
There's a reason why it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's so fascinating is that it could even be ancestral.
Right.
So yeah, you know, we have all of these stored memories in our genetics based on our ancestors' struggles, the strengths that they created from those struggles, and also their joys. Mm-hmm. And that so much of that is inborn and wired before we're even here on the planet in utero.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Yeah. And that's so why it doesn't make sense.
No, exactly. Because then that's I think where, I think that's where this idea of tapping into something deeper than the conscious mind start, because it that's the thing that when we can't explain it, when the intellect yes. can't explain it, sometimes I can say from my personal experience that we get into a spin about that.
Yes, like this doesn't make any logical sense. Why do I feel this way? Yeah. This is ridiculous. I'm going to move away from this. I'm gonna right. make myself feel better hormonally.
Right. right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And all the time our central nervous system is trying to flash this warning sign. Exactly. And that's part of what I'd like to share with the audience today at the end of
yeah.
our time.
Yeah. Together. Yeah. Excellent. Well, I think that is so fascinating to start to recognize that. And there is obviously a role for all of this. So it's less about because I don't want anybody to come away from this conversation, and I think you would agree, thinking that the unconscious or subconscious mind is better than, you know, the conscious mind. It's isn't it more about how they work together?
Absolutely. They're partners always.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The subconscious seems a bit more mysterious.
Right.
However, so yeah. People will travel to yeah, they'll travel miles and miles and spend weekends accessing the depths of their subconscious mind. The question is, how do we do it
right.
quickly, easily, mm-hmm. naturally, because it's occurring anyway.
Right.
Right. Right. Without our purposeful attention. How do we do it in a way that can be seamlessly connected to our habits, to our life schedules, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that we can consistently have access to that inner brilliance. Yeah. And I pause really because I just feel like it's such a tragedy. There's so many incredible beings walking our planet today that have no idea how amazing they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have inborn talents, right? Mm-hmm. Resources, just genius. We all have this special spark of genius that can only come through us. Mm-hmm. And when the conscious and the subconscious mind are balanced, right? When our internal world and our external world are in relationship with one another, when we're not trapped right. in the past or fearful right. and panicked about the future, then we have more energy, right? More openness,
yeah.
more,
yeah.
This genius is more bioavailable, right?
Right, right. And that's a great way of putting it because I think that it's important to recognize because I think in the past, many times the topic that we're talking about today gets put into kind of a category of woo-woo weird stuff, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and really what we understand is that this is, you know, cellular wisdom, it's genetic, it's in the body in a very physical, biological way.
It is. Yeah. It's natural, it's animal, all animals have the ability. You know, we often will suppress our gut instinct because it right. doesn't meet all the logical criteria, right?
Yeah, doesn't make sense, right?
Doesn't make sense. Why in the world do I want to take a different way today instead of the highway? This doesn't make sense. Oh, well, All right, I think maybe today I'll listen to my gut. So we take the back way and then learn once we get to the office that there was a massive pileup on the freeway. Mm-hmm. Okay, that happens a lot. So why in the world do I feel like I need to call my mother and my father right now, or my sister? All right, I have this urging. I wonder why. Okay, that's interesting. I'm going to follow along with that. Pick up the phone and they're calling me. How many times has that happened in our life?
Right.
So these things happen naturally, automatically, because we're entangled, by the greater electricity that connects all of us. We are electrical beings. Mm-hmm. So we are actually more advanced than the most recent iPhone update.
Right.
Really, we are. Yeah. And we're only accessing a very tiny portion of that capacity.
Yeah. So I'm kind of feeling like I'm getting a little like excited to have you take us through so what do we do next? So
yes.
Do you feel like this is a good time to share a skill?
I would love it.
Or practice?
I would love it. I'm very passionate about sharing how easy this is with helping professions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, obviously, we're out there all day helping others, right? Especially nurses, EMTs, police officers, firemen, you know, teachers, serving the community, and then make the transition to our home life. That doesn't always happen gracefully or elegantly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Going from out there helping to internally, you know, internal connectivity. So, yes, right. I'd love to share a practice. It's very quick, very natural, doesn't require any kind of any kind of equipment. So I will say, though, that the side effect of this process that we're going to experience is a deep relaxation. So if you are driving as you are listening to this podcast, which many people do, absolutely, right. You can keep listening. Just make sure you don't close your eyes.
Well, there would be that, right?
You know, disclaimer, don't close your eyes, or maybe tag this for later so that you can listen to it when you are in a space of rest, sitting comfortably.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good disclaimer.
Sure. Want to make sure that we're all really safe. Okay. So
yeah,
I'd like to say before we start that I would love for you to be able to take this process, this exercise, into your life and practice as much as you can in little snippets of your day. Maybe first thing in the morning as you're awaking, when you're coming from that theta to alpha mind rhythm. Mm-hmm. When you are maybe at lunch with a friend, right, or sitting in the car before you enter into, you know, start your day. Maybe in the afternoon when your day is over and you're ready to transition, you know, home and start your relaxation time or personal time. That's a really great time to do it. In the evening, preparing for sleep, especially if you have sleep problems or tend to wake up in the middle of the night. I found this to be very powerful for that as well.
Okay, yeah. Great.
Okay.
Okay. Now that we're all excited.
Are you ready to do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's begin by activating our sense of self-awareness. And I'd like for you to do this with your eyes open. Just look around the room, wherever you are. Notice the color, the shapes, and how you feel in this space. It's really valuable to recognize that. It may be a space you're familiar with. It may not be. And now notice what you can hear. Notice what you can hear close by. And now direct your hearing attention to a little further away, like maybe outside in the street or in the surrounding room. And now take your attention to the temperature of where you are. The temperature on the surface of your skin. Notice if there's a breeze or not, if you feel like the air is circulating. And now bring your attention to the smell in the room. Take a deep breath in. You might also notice the familiar taste in your mouth, if you're thirsty or not. and if you're hungry or not. These are all natural biological processes that occur without our effort. And now, if you'd like, you can close your eyes. And repeat this process with your internal environment. You might take a breath in and out, noticing the temperature of your breath, the temperature of your body. Noticing what you can hear in your environment. And now with your eyes closed, remembering the environment that you are in, the familiar colors, the shapes of the furniture, or the nature that is around you. And now sink into connection with your physical body. You might notice the comfort level in your clothing. You can use your hands to contact something, noticing the texture of your clothing. And now you can also take your attention to spaces within your body of openness. Notice where you are relaxed and aligned. And as you do this, you might also notice areas of your body that could feel more relaxed or more open. Feel free to make adjustments here. Shift how you are relaxing. Shift the position of your body. There's no need to be still. And in this adjustment, you will naturally find a space of stillness that feels good. And now, using your imagination, think of a place in nature that's relaxing for you. This might be a place that you have experienced in the past, or it might be a place that is pure fantasy, some place you'd like to visit in the future. Allowing your imagination to bring forth images and thoughts and ideas without the need to settle on any one. And as you relax into letting go of the need to settle or to decide, the image forms. Noticing the color of the sky, the colors all around you. Connect in with the ground. Breathe in and imagine that you can smell the air. Notice the sun on the surface of your skin. in this place from nature, you have the ability to create an area that is comforting, comfortable, and quiet, enjoyable for yourself. All the materials that you need are right here. You can make it easy. Just wave your hands around and create this space. And now activate your senses on purpose. Notice that close by, right next to you, is a piece of fruit. Reach out your hand and pick up this piece of fruit. Notice the color and the shape. Bring this piece of fruit up to your nose and smell it. And if you'd like, you can actually use your hand right here. Reach out in front of you. It makes it actually more real. And when you're ready, take a bite of the piece of fruit. Noticing the texture and the taste, the temperature, the smell. And now, in this environment that you have created, take a moment to experience something playful, enjoyable, even active. And as you do this, continually experience this place through all of your senses. Continuing to connect in with your environment. Of where you are in this present moment, simultaneously experiencing the relaxed state of your imagination in this place in nature. And now finish up this activity and settle back into this area that you have created for yourself to relax and to enjoy this place. If you like, you can taste this fruit again. Noticing your physical response. Is your body responding as if it's occurring right now? And just for fun, you might also choose to create something to drink. Reach out and pick up this drink, noticing the temperature, the container, You can bring this drink to your nose and smell it, and then take a drink, take a sip, noticing the taste and the texture, the temperature, all at once. And now, once again, connect in sensorially to this imaginary environment. Notice the horizon. The sky. The temperature of the air. Noticing as well what you can see in your mind's eye. And what you can feel occurring physically in your body. And now, knowing that you can return to this place at any time, for any reason, to access this feeling, this sense of stillness and calm, you can open your eyes when you're ready. So as everyone is coming back online, there are a few things about this process that are really interesting and healing for the body if you choose to embrace it. One is being still with eyes closed, sensorially connected internally and externally in the presence of something uncomfortable, as you mentioned earlier, Kathy, right? Uncomfortable could be maybe there's a pain in the hip, maybe the blood pressure, the heart rate's high, right? Maybe the environment actually is uncomfortable or too fast-paced or maybe even too slow-paced. Any of those recognitions, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's an external uncomfortableness, a preference, an expectation that's not being met, or an internal one. The act of stilling oneself purposefully and connecting in with the senses sends a message to the conscious and subconscious state that we are safe, that we're not in danger. And therefore, we don't have to record at a high rate of speed. I'm not sure if I mentioned this earlier, but the subconscious mind and the conscious mind, as you mentioned, are always in a consistent dance. They're in a partnership. And in a moment of high stress or in a long period of high stress, which is what we often experience in the modern world, right? It's not just a moment. It could be hours or days even of high stress. Yeah. Or in the situation of COVID, years, right, of accelerated stress. Then the conscious mind shuts down and the subconscious mind becomes the primary recorder. And that enables us, there's a reason why that occurs, that enables us to act lightning fast, to access all of our resilient habits that we've created in the past for survival that are eons old, right? There's no time to think, only time to act. That's great in the moment, but not healthy long-term, day-to-day, right, in our everyday life. So the act of sitting still and connecting in sensorially balances the subconscious and the conscious state, brings it to a state of homeostasis, and sends a signal to our body that we're safe. There's no need to run. The human being will not sit still with eyes closed if we're in danger, right? Because that's counterintuitive.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Not going to do that, right?
No, because if we're going to run from the tiger, we need to be able to see the tiger. We need to be able to see where we're going. We need to listen. We need to be able to smell. And we have a heightened sense of awareness. Okay. So this process will allow us to experience our natural heightened sense of awareness, but in a calm, quiet state, which is so rebalancing and healing. It takes us out of panic mode and into present moment mode. And there's so many studies that show us the benefit of imagining a place from nature. I think it was a university in the Netherlands. Maybe it was 2016. There was a study that I think they had 46 participants, and they hooked everyone up to heart rate monitor and brainwave state monitors and body temperature monitors, and showed them pictures. They divided the group up, and they showed some of the group pictures of like buildings and architecture structures, right? Cubicles, things like that. And they showed the other group pictures of flowers and trees and pastures and beaches. Well, and guess what group had, you know, better biology, less stress hormones? Of course, it was the group that were they observing the nature. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if we imagine the nature, or if we look at nature, or if we're in nature, or maybe if we've just pasted a picture of nature, you know, on our computer to be able to access that state, right?
Right.
It has a calming, healing, homeostasis effect on our body and mind. So this process combines both of those.
Excellent. Wow. That was great. I kind of feel like I'm a little bit back online now, so I could maybe get through the rest of my day. But thank you. That was awesome.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I always benefit from that too. I absolutely feel, more awake and more in tune after that process. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent. Well, Angela, as we are winding up our time together today, is there anything else around this topic that I haven't asked, or that we haven't talked about, that you want to bring to the people that are listening today?
I feel very passionate about equipping our future generations mm-hmm. with the power of our body, mind, and spirit. And I've shared this process with my children, mm-hmm. with other people's children, and encouraged them to share it with their children. Children meaning anyone actually from age, age 2 to 88, basically. I mean, anyone that will... we'll sit and listen. I really would like to imagine an earth that is more interconnected, that knows how to transition naturally out of a space of fight, flight, freeze, faint. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that has access to their deep inner brilliance and genius. And the beautiful thing about the human body, as we know, is that because we're habit-oriented, we are learning modes, right? And we store so much incredible information that it's not difficult. You know, we learn it one time, and it becomes second nature.
Right.
So I would like to encourage everyone to share it, share this ability, even if it's just sitting with someone quietly for a moment, taking a few breaths and closing our eyes and imagining a safe, calm space. I think that goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I really think it'll heal a generation of children instead of isolating and leaving them to their own devices to try to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know? And adults as well, right? Adults as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Excellent. Angela, thank you so much for your time today and your sharing all of your wisdom. It's always a pleasure. It's always a joy to connect. So
thank you for having me. This was
Absolutely.
So much fun.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Over and out. We're going to go back around through our days, and we're just going to be more aware.
Yeah.
In a calm way.
Interconnected.
Interconnected.
Interconnected. Yeah. throughout the day in the little bitty pockets of our time.
That's right. Excellent.
Joyfully.
Yeah. Excellent. All right.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.